Royalty, a family of jazz, with Count One. He's, of course, on trumpet, Kenny Burrell on guitar, Paul Chambers on bass, Arthur Taylor on drums, Frank West on tenor sax and flute, and Mal Waldron on piano. This is from Jones's 1957 album, After Hours. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off yesterday. Of course, the news would have you believe there's only one item in the news that we need to pay attention to, and at the moment, to be very frank about it, this is, of course, concerning Jeffrey Epstein and his mysterious death behind bars in a New York City jail as he awaited prosecution and investigations galore with respect to charges of sexual misconduct, but also a range of other charges, including swindling, money laundering, all kinds of stuff. So that continues to be the focus of the news in the city of New York and elsewhere. It's, but, you know, it's too soon to actually get into that story because it's a labyrinth. It's a story within a story within a story within a story. And it is also like a pond when you throw a pebble in. There are so many ripples causing so many concentric circles to appear. So it will be a long time before that story actually unravels in a way that people could make sense of it. In the meantime, we are following another story. The story we are looking at comes in the immediate aftermath of the mass killings we've witnessed in the last month. We have been told, at least this is the way the story is unfolding, that it is generally believed, because the experts have said, that white supremacy played a large role in these deaths. As you recall, we had on May 31st a mass killing in Virginia Beach. 12 people were killed there. In El Paso, Texas, on August the 3rd, 20 people killed there. And within hours of that slaughter, we had 9 people killed in Dayton, Ohio, each of them being the handiwork of so-called lone gunmen, these unprovoked attacks. But they were said to be motivated by white supremacy, and I thought it would be a good time to ask the question, what is white supremacy? It's there. We bandy around the term quite a bit. It's in the media quite a bit. And it is assumed that we know, including by the folks who actually coined the phrase. Well, what is it? Nobody has quite explained it. But they seem to know what it is. And as we ascertained during our first day of discussion about that on Monday, what is white supremacy? We also found that people had some general ideas about it, but their definitions were both broad and imprecise, which is exactly where I think all of America is. Terms just appear, and they're made applicable to one situation or another. And so it sticks without us really understanding what it is. So we return to our discussion. We had a great time in discovering how different people define it. I'm not going to define it here for you today. I'm listening too to how people are defining it based on the information they have. What is white supremacy? Well, many callers said that they believed that the maskilings were linked to a deep resentment by ultra-nationalist white Americans, that they have been losing social, political, and economic ground to non-white racial groups, thereby threatening what they see as their long-standing dominance or supremacy over all others in all aspects of American life. Well, that's one definition. And it comes close to what most people understand as white supremacy. Close to, but not on target. So we are continuing the conversation today to see how close we can get to this idea, which is now part of our nomenclature, our lexicon, and it is supposed that we all, as Americans, understand it until we are asked to explain it. And we should do exactly that. Try to find a way to convey what you understand to be white supremacy, how it works, what are the effects in day-to-day life, how do we ascertain that we are living in a society run by this structure, this permanent, it seems now, a permanent structure called white supremacy. 888-874-4888. We had an excellent time yesterday listening to the interchange between partners who had no idea that they were going to be partnered by anybody with anybody, but it was great to hear the exchange and what was transmitted in the course of that exchange, understanding this. Now, why are we making such a big deal about this? It is because we should know exactly how our society functions and has been functioning. And the direct impact that has on all of us. What has been difficult about this concept of white supremacy is locating it. Where did it come from? How did it get started? What was the intention? And is it still at work? Does it still continue to have an impact on American society as a whole? All right, I would ask you, please, as you make your presentations, to stick to the point. Don't take us on the scenic view. Get us where we need to go as quickly as possible so that your points are the are prime in our attention. 888-874-4888. We will start off pairing Lincoln from Mount Vernon with Mitch from Brooklyn. Hello, hello.
Hello, you cheese.
Hello, Lincoln. Mitch, hello from Brooklyn.
Hello. Are we
Okay.
supposed to
So let's start with you, Lincoln. What is white supremacy?
Okay. To comprehend white supremacy, I think we must bear in mind these three things: cognizant dissonance, manifest destiny, and invention of pretext.
Well,
I
now
say
you
this to
just
say.
added three more things to the list of things that we need to understand, which we don't understand. Cognitive dissonance is a psychological term. What was the other one? Pretext?
I sometimes get lost. This time I wrote that, took some notes. Invention of a pretext, or fabrication of a pretext, and also manifest destiny.
Well, let's hear how you bring this all together.
Yes. So I say all this to say it's a pretext to justify domination of people. It's also a pretext
Pretext
to
by
give
whom?
people. Oh, white Caucasians, whether they be in America or wherever. It's a pretext for entitlement. It's a pretext, and when I say domination of people, it comes under usurping of people's resources. And that's how it comes back to cognizant dissonance. It's an excuse for them to rape the world and to put themselves in a particular privileged position, and cognizance dissonance meaning that they're able to excuse themselves and feel justified in this domination. You know, it's what it's it, it and it justifies them to the extent that they could go into a country and kill millions of people and walk away like nothing happened because these people were not really on you know, worthwhile. They were not really human
But
beings.
you're using the pronoun they. Who are they?
Oh, yeah, every time I say they, I'm talking about colonial powers and specifically white colonial powers. And in the times when the Arabs were enslaving blacks, it was them too. But presently, we're talking about white supremacy. So every time I say they, I'm talking about Europeans. I'm talking just like, for example, and I'll give you an example. Like after Haiti kicked the French out, they were forced to pay for them ending slavery. Imagine, I was supposed to pay you for the injustices you have been wrought on me. You know, so it's
Here's the
hello?
thing. You're not explaining what it is. You're taking us, you're hopscotching and giving us some vignettes. But we are still not clear, at least you haven't made it clear, what white supremacy is as a definition. Could we start
All of
there?
what.
Mitch, could you help him out a bit?
Well, I have a different attitude about the whole thing, tell you the truth.
Okay.
I'm not a white. Hello?
I'm listening.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a white supremacy person. I mean, I'm more of a thinking about people and racism. I mean, my thought is it healthy for us to give this amount of power to other people, say white supremacy, right away if you define the word
Right,
supreme meaning
but you
above
kind of
all.
here's what we need to do. We need to come to some kind of definition in our discourse today, in the exchanges that we're having today. Our task is to arrive at some definition, if we can, of what white supremacy is, insofar as it is considered based on coverage and based on news conferences by high-profile people who are quoting this thing called white supremacy as being very, very important in the unfolding tragedies that we w witnessed recently with these mass killings. So, in as much as they're citing white supremacy, what do you understand it to be? What is it?
Is racism at its core?
Continue.
Well, I look at it as being, racism. More so than somebody being supreme over me. Or my spouse or my children. Because people keep repeating white supremacy, it goes into your psychic and you believe it. And once you start believing it, then it stymies your growth. I'm going to do this. You can be in a room full of people, black people, and they say, oh, the white people ain't going to let you do that. Automatically, you're putting a damper on what you can do.
But whether you believe it or you don't believe it, that, for the purposes of our discussion, is beside the point today. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it.
No, I don't believe it.
It doesn't matter for the purposes of our discussion. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or you don't believe it. I'm just interested in whether you understand what it is. And if so, can you explain it?
Well, I'm going to have to bow out of this discussion because I don't know what it is.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your participation.
Hello?
Lincoln, we're back to you.
Hello?
Lincoln, we are back to you.
Yes. I think that all of what I said in the beginning was the explanation of white supremacy and also its foundation. You know, it's an excuse. That's why I use the word cognizant dissonance. It's an excuse.
It's cognitive dissonance, by the way. Dissonance, if you want to use the term.
Yeah, what I'm saying, though, anyway, it is bias. It is people faking bias and, I mean, faking superiority, pretending to be superior to benefit themselves. Because you have to say, who does it benefit? It's like, if I say I'm a white supremacist...
You're asking questions based on the definition which you have not provided. What is it?
I think I gave you a definition.
No, you kind of... You dropped some words, but you didn't, in a cogent way, define it. Could you give it a shot? What is white supremacy?
White supremacy is a misuse, a psychological misuse of a fallacy, that I am entitled and I am superior, therefore anything that justifies my agenda, it's okay for me to exercise it against a certain set of people who are looked upon as third world or a minority. It is an excuse to lord oneself over a so-called minority. It is an excuse.
Is it as simple as an individual deciding to lord himself over others? Is it as simple as that?
No. White supremacy expresses itself individually and collectively and systematically. You see, it can express itself as one person going out to shoot someone. It can express itself as a nation deciding to invade a weak nation, especially a nation of color. It can be an expression of, hey, you can't go to this school and you don't deserve good education. You know, it expresses itself either collectively or individually. It's the same expression. If a group of people decide to go and kill some people just because of their color, just because of something they have, what's the difference between that and a fellow getting up and say, hey, too many of you kind of people coming to my country, I'm going to shoot you. It's the same thing.
Yes, but don't get so agitated just yet. You'll have reason in a minute. I'm still waiting for a definition, something that comes dangerously close to a definition. What is it? You've given us some examples, and And these examples were to illustrate white supremacy. But what is white supremacy? If you were to give an overall definition of it, what is it?
It is the wrongful abuse of others for personal benefit, and whether it even just means to benefit me psychologically, makes me feel good that I killed a bunch of people, makes me feel good that as a policeman I shoot this black man, you know, and because of my superior feeling. It is born out of a psychological imbalance. You know, it is very much related to, it's so closely related to racism or a kind of a bias, but a bias for the sake of abusing others, of usurping others. That's a good word, usurping. It's something for usurpation, you know?
Okay, well,
hello?
You gave it a good shot. Thanks a lot for getting us started today.
Okay.
Thank you. Moki from Connecticut, thanks for joining us. What is...
Greetings. I'm relieved there's no tag team today, but I like that. I'd like to try something.
Oh, no, there is a tag team today.
Oh, it is?
There is a tag team.
Let me proceed. White supremacy is a form, it's a modern form of racism, which is a very old thing. Racism...
When you say it's a modern form of racism, if you can give an approximate date, when did racism start?
Well, the earliest,
so we would know.
When the Egyptians saw the Hebrews coming, a big cloud of dust off in the distance, they named them the Hebrews. Now, the Egyptians may, in fact, have been of a darker hue, skin color-wise. But what racism is an abuse of free will and power. And this abuse is caused by the willingness to see someone as the other. Once you see them as the other, then you can steal their resources, you can dominate another people, a minority, as someone said before. Everyone's been spot on so far, but you can dominate them, you can enslave them, and you can kill them. It gives you an excuse. So it starts with seeing someone as other, and then employing a belief that this other person, well, you know, that's the evil of it, is abuse of free will, if you want to boil it down to that. Do we need to return to the more modern definition of white supremacy? Because the color doesn't matter. If you drum up or rationalize an excuse to see yourself as being superior, and that's always a temptation when you have the power, when you're the larger society, is to scapegoat someone, to take their resources, as I said, to dominate and oppress them, and then to kill them.
All right. Let me ask Ka from New Jersey. Ka, what do you think of Moki's definition of white supremacy?
304? No, but normally she closes that out between like 1:30 and stuff. But she said it's supposed to go out every day.
Hello? You're on the air.
I don't know it yet.
All right, we'll move on. Jean from Maryland, do you agree with Moki's definition of white supremacy?
I agree with the logic, but my definition is a bit different.
What is your definition? And how does it differ from the definition we've just been offered?
I view white supremacy as an expression of culture, economics, and law. And in each case, historically, we have seen, if you take a look at the colonial period, where one group chooses to dominate another based on their expression of colonial power, they then dominate their resources, which is where the economic portion of it comes in, and then they make it all right by creating law around their domination. And so when you take a good look at the U.S. Constitution, for example, it's very clear that the benefits and the rights which are granted under the Constitution were designated for white men who owned property. And so when you think about it, of a system, a structure that is going to be used for a society, it makes sense when you take a look at it through this particular lens and examine how and why white supremacy as an expression of culture works.
Okay. Two words that strike interest. The rest I could live without. But the two words are system and structure. Could you take these two words and amplify what you mean? And so we have a working definition. A definition is just a sentence. What is this thing? You don't need to spell out, you know, the individual attributes. Just let us get first to an overarching definition of what this is that we call white supremacy. So take another shot.
Given what you're asking for, I would suggest that we're talking about a system that is designed to promote the interests of white people.
Okay. I could live with that. I could live with that as a definition. It needs, and it will get more meat on the bones as we go, but that, which you just offered, is something that we can all work with as a working definition of what this thing is that has cropped up in the national consciousness in the last couple of weeks, because it figured in national tragedies. Many people died, and we are told that a major reason, a major force behind the actions of the killers is this thing called white supremacy. So now we have to congratulate you for giving us two very important words, system and structure. What does that mean? What are you intimating when you say system and structure?
A system and a structure, and let's use them interchangeably for the moment, would be the vehicle that is used to promote the culture. And then back to the questions of economics and all of that going through law or a system of law.
When you say system and structure, what else are you suggesting? What else are we automatically to assume with these two words being put before us? That this mysterious thing that we haven't been able to define, the closest we've gotten so far is it's a system and it has a structure. What is the aim?
Domination.
What is the domination of whom by whom?
Of all others by white folks who feel supreme.
Okay. Well, hello and thank you so much. It's been kind of a test so far. But as simple as it sounds, you're right on point. This is no kind of a, you know, willy-nilly thing. White supremacy is a system. And it has a structure. And it has as its chief aim and objective to champion and promote the interests of a perceived group over all others. Would that be loosely okay as a definition to you?
I'd accept that.
Okay.
Except to say that I do think that it needs to be rounded out a little more with with the things, because the law is important and the economics are important, which is why I put them in there.
Yes, but essentially what you have said by using these very important words, it's a system, it's a structure. It promotes, that seeks to promote the interests or protect the interests of one group over all others. I think that's a fairly decent definition. And then you can see how it applies in each instance. Could you give us an idea of how this definition expressed itself in any of the mass killings so far?
Well, I think the first thing I would point to is the manifesto. And that's a good one because it's written down. Where he expressed very clearly, and this is the guy in Texas, very clearly that he was protecting the border, which now is, I guess would qualify as real property, and that he felt obligated to do it, and that he not only had a gun, but had the, I guess, moral authority to carry out this act, all of which was granted to him under the aegis of white supremacy.
Okay. And I think you're on point there. That in this system, an individual or individuals may take it upon themselves, may self-deputize to protect what they perceive as the interests of the whole against threats from those outside the group. So this system can be seen as giving, granting permission. It may or may not in actuality do so, but the individuals who see themselves as agents of this belief system also see themselves as guardians of the system, self-deputized to take actions to protect it and those who are within it from perceived or potential threats. Would that be close or would I be way off?
No, I think you're right in there.
Okay.
I think it's a good synopsis.
All right. So this is what we're talking about. The word white supremacy, we, on the outside, if you will, as potential victims, all right, we should see ourselves as understanding that this is not just, these are not just words. This is a system. And the people who subscribe to this system subscribe to a whole bunch of other beliefs that others may not agree with at all, or that may be patently illegal, or might be just wrong, morally wrong. They don't care. This is their system that they believe in. This is their guiding principle. This is not a joke. And of course, we do have also within this system, you have people who themselves don't get it. Or who, if they really got it, would not subscribe to such a system. But that is the crux of the matter. We have people who see themselves as deputized. They don't care about the law. This is their law. And because their system of belief means that they are superior to any law, all other laws are, you know, beneath them. This is the supreme law that they are obeying or that they are protecting the interests of the whole, as they see it, the whole meaning those who they believe are members, a fellow members of this system, to which they now obligate themselves to take drastic action, if necessary, to protect it. It's not just a psychological thing. It's not just words. For many people within this system, this is a very deep commitment. And even their own lives are not that important, because they see themselves as taking on the duties of any guardian, any worthy guardian of a system, to put their lives down for it, or to engage in acts that people would find repugnant, but they don't matter. The system has its own beliefs, it has its own laws, it has its own code of conduct. So they're not obliged to following, as what several of you have referred to as, the law. They don't recognize the law. They have laws already. Now, are you still there, Gene?
I am here.
Based on this discussion that we've had so far, how close do you see this issue of white supremacy, this phenomenon of white supremacy, how close is that to what you and I and others understand to be the law that Americans follow?
It's one for one, because it's white supremacy that created the law.
Well, I didn't think of that, but it's an interesting point that you raise. When we say white supremacy, these are all the things that we need to automatically understand. We're not dealing here with a single issue or a single individual. We're dealing, first of all, we established, and I think we agreed with it, this is a system. And the system is designed for a specific purpose. And it has specific rules by which it achieves this specific purpose. So that when we come from the outside and we assume or we think that we're talking in a generic way about how people should behave as citizens, we ought to understand that we are wrong from the start. We're off base. They are not trying to mesh with the rest of America. After all, if they did, it would undermine their very existence. Their existence is to come to the assistance, to elevate the interests and the power of a special group of people. They have their own definitions for that. What makes you special and what makes you a good member or a good likely member? and most of us will not qualify. So we're thinking it's an across-the-board application here when we start talking about white supremacists and white supremacy, and it is not. We are way misinformed. And we are dealing with issues that have greater meaning and application in terms of how a society functions, because we assume that we're all Americans. That is not their assumption. They assume that this is a democratic, we assume that this is a, quote, democratic society. That's not their assumption. We assume that we're all entitled to some measure of the benefits of living in a, quote, democratic society. That is not their assumption. That's not what they teach. And I'm saying we, just in general, we have this tendency to make very serious assumptions that have nothing to do with reality. Nowhere in the coverage of these mass killings do you see any link, any connection, any attempt to link the public's understanding of what has happened here and what may continue, sadly, to happen. You have a group of people operating with their own consciousness and their own rules and their own system. And all of the coverage is telling us that they are wrong because they're criminals who disobeyed the law. A very simplistic understanding of things. Very simplistic. And wrong, just plain dead wrong. When you referred to a manifesto, why did you use that word?
A manifesto is generally a document that is written to express one's belief. I manifest. And by documenting it and then carrying out some sort of a very serious act, it is accepted that the individual who wrote this not only believed it, but believed in it so strongly that the actions would manifest. I'm going to show you what I can do. Manifest. I think he's trying to make it very clear what his beliefs and his intentions are.
Right, but what is even more significant, and we have to deal with it, it is immaterial whether we agree or whether we approve. We just deal with the facts as given. A manifesto, in a way, is a declaration of war. What they're making manifest are the principles that they are about to defend with their lives. A group of principles or the system, let's go back to that word, is very important. They are prepared to defend their system against all attacks and even preemptively. Now, I don't believe, you know, that they the writer of the manifesto even understands it at this level. It's just a thing that he sees as being dramatic enough to distinguish his act and himself. But he, you know, when people use words like my manifesto, and you're not at manifesto level, okay? You're not at manifesto level. But it is interesting that he understands, or he appears to understand, the implications of the word to explain his contemplated and deliberate action. He is representing a system, and he is going up against a system. It's a kind of declaration of war. Now, that's how serious this is. It is not simply a matter that a young man, in order to be very dramatic and to distinguish himself, contemplates undertaking a major act of violence, and as his so-called last will and testament, writes something he calls a manifesto. It is not that simple. So when we are talking about white supremacy, and white supremacy at this level, we're talking here about one system or a member of a system believing in it so hard, so thoroughly, that he is willing to undertake an act of war all by himself to protect that very system of which he sees himself as being a part. Now, so far, as in terms of what we're discussing, does it resemble anything in the general domain? Do you think people generally think of it this way?
No.
Okay.
I say no because there are so many additional systems and structures, i.e. school, which, A, prevent us from developing this kind of analytical thinking, and B, give us boxes of facts that are just wrong for comparison. So we never get close enough or spend enough time to pull this apart properly.
Well, which makes more sense to you?
No. It does make sense when you look at it through the lens of white supremacy and thinking in terms that the system does what it needs to do to continue to promote itself and its interests. So there, it makes perfect sense because I'm not considered as a point of interest.
Okay. Well, this is what I mean about properly understanding a thing when it occurs. It just doesn't, it's not something that just falls out of the sky and happens. When you see it in the way that they mean it, this takes on a whole different message. It takes on a whole different meaning for all of us. This is not a joke.
Let me leave you with this, Eutrice, and this is actually a point to what you're addressing here. Really what that means from a systemic point of view is that these individuals who are picking up the guns and walking into a school or walking into a mall or whatever and shooting large numbers of people, by the system, that young man in Texas and the other one in Ohio and the many before them, the system considers them, number one, expendable,
uh-huh,
and number two, is ready to take advantage of the carnage that they leave behind.
Of course. But then on the flip side of that coin, the agents of this kind of violence themselves think of themselves as expendable. But that they're making the sacrifice of their lives in order to protect the system. The system that they recognize. And the system that best or better represents their interests as they see them. But to just simply say, you know, here's a guy who wakes up in the morning, loads up a bunch of guns and goes someplace and just mows people down, that, you know, this is just a crime of a different order because of so many people killed. But that really isn't it. We need to understand white supremacy, what it is, what it does. And how different their view of the world is. How very different. That doesn't make it all right, naturally. But it is important to us, for us to understand this. I'll get into it a little deeper tomorrow, and you will see how this thing evolved. This was a carefully thought out system. It still has a long way to go, but it is amazing that people have stuck to it for so long. Because as we will see, it derived great benefits to many people who would normally consider themselves and who would have the rest of the country consider them to be good Americans. Going back to the 1600s, this is not a flash in the pan movement. But thank you. You did well in bringing us this far. Thank you so much. Let's hear what you were thinking. 888-874-4888. We're trying our best to come to terms, to try and define what this thing is, white supremacy. Even the people who are raising it as a likely explanation for this tremendous violence that we just witnessed, they don't themselves understand it. But it's a good catchphrase, and that's what they're using it as, without, again, understanding the history of white supremacy in America. If they did, they wouldn't be so casual about it. They wouldn't be so cavalier about it. They wouldn't be so quick to toss aside that, you know, well, they're just doing their odd thing, but we still are the mainstream of America. They are the fringe. No, they're not. They're very much mainstream America. And when we join the conversation at that level, we give people permission to continue to trivialize enormously deep psychological and historical, the psychological and historical record of violence, racially directed violence. As I said, we have documentation going back to the 1600s of systematic application of this kind of violence. To act now like this is something new or something that we can't afford to dismiss because America, white America, isn't generally like this. Well, you'll see. Thanks for your participation today. we have gotten a little closer to understanding what white supremacy is. I really appreciate your participation. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.